Hey, Boker Tov. Today's daf is daf Samach Ches in Bav Metzia. As we learn, we're at the fourth line on the page, daf Samach Ches. The elders of that town, Masa Machasya, the city of Machasya in Bavel, Samashkanta Shasa, a regular mashkin, if it's unspecified, is for a year. That means that if I lend you money. Again, the example we gave yesterday, the Malva, let's not say Malva. Malva lends the Lova $1,000. What did we say yesterday? $3,000, $10,000, whatever. Let's say it's $3,000. And he doesn't say how long, and the Lova gives him his field as a mashkan, as collateral, as a mortgage. It's at least a year. If he didn't specify how much it is, the if he was on the land for a year, that's okay, but less he can't. And Rashi explains that even in a city, when you can pay it off early, we discussed this yesterday, there's certain places where you're allowed to prepay your mortgage, get rid of it, prepay the loan and stop the mortgage. In some places you cannot. Even in a place where you're allowed to, if you didn't say specifically, if you didn't specify others, whenever you make a deal with somebody, if you made an honest deal, and there's no ribbit involved, and there's no onah involved, that's the deal. But if you didn't say anything, it's at least a year. So you can't push him off the property. You can't prepay it for at least a year. Ravashi. Ravashi said another thing on Melisavi. The elders of Mas Pesach told me another halacha. My mashkanta. What is the source of the word mashkanta? Mashkom, right? We said a mortgage, a deposit, a collateral. What is that? Not a deposit, a collateral or a pledge of some sort. What does that mean? The shchunagabe. He's right there. He's living with you. He's abiding with you. What does that mean? That it's like the person, the mortgagee, like the bank who has your house, right? Who has your house as a mortgage. He has the first right of refusal. Dina bar mitzvah is a halacha that we'll discuss elsewhere in Baba Basra also. That what is that? That if I have a field abutting your field, and you want to sell it, you should give me the first right of refusal because it's an advantage to me to have two fields together. So if you want to sell your field and I feel is next to your field, before you put it out on the market for anybody, you should sell it to me. Bar mitzvah means the border, the one who's neighboring. So the same thing over here, that the one who has the mashkan, if the malva has the lova's field, and now the lova wants to sell his field, the first right of refusal goes to the malva, who's on the property now. Pardon? That's a chiyuv. Yeah, it's a chiyuv. Right. He's
back.
no, he doesn't have to give it back, but he's over on the deed of the bar mitzvah. So didn't draw banan. Doesn't have to give it back. I don't think he can claim it in court, but if he's willing to pay the price that other people, if other people want to pay more, you have the first right of refusal. Because if other people pay more, then you can't. We'll discuss some more in Bava Basra. But the rule is bar mitzvah. That if he wants to sell it, that if the lover wants to sell it, that he has the first right of refusal. Okay, and so he has the first right. Rashi says, in other words, he could stop the sale to somebody else. He can go to court and say, listen, I have first rights. Once the sale is made, probably he couldn't go back. The deal was the guy paid for it. You were over on the rule of the rabbis of Dina Bar Mitzvah. The rabbis would give him a knas. I don't think the deal would go off. So the man of Camilo Dina Bar Mitzvah. That's the lashon of Shmashkanta, that he's like living with you, right? That's how you feel when you have a loan to the bank and you're paying your mortgage. You feel like the bank is right in your house, that they go right into your bank, especially here. They take the money right out of your account. You don't even have a choice, They're like living with you. Amarava. Les Hilchasa, the halacha is not like Katarshi Papanoi, like the tacit interest that we discussed before a few blocks back with Rapapa. Where did Rapapa? Rapapa said that my deal of interest is okay. What do you mean by that? He was a brewer and he said, look, I'll sell it to these people, these poor people. I'll sell them my beer now at the higher price that it's going to be 6 months from now. Isn't that a rebate of some sort? Because it's a lower price now if they would have money. They don't have money. So he charges them the higher price later on. Is that like rebate? Well, but Papa said it's okay because I don't need the money now and my beer will last till then. So if they want to take it now, let them pay the higher price. that was countered. That argument was countered. He says, "Well, yeah, but look at it from their point of view. If they would have money now, they could buy it at the lower price. You're charging them the higher price. That's like rebid." So the halacha is not like Rav Papa, less chazak katash Rav Papa, lo kishtar mechazor, not like the shtaros of from Chuzanoi, which from the Chuzor was also Mechuzah was a place in Babel. We'll see what that shtar was. We're going to explain lo chakir nashar, not like the people who leased in Nashor. What does that mean? We're going to explain what that means, like the leases or the tenancies in those places. So it explains all three, Katasha Panoi, Katasha Rav Papa, like we explained before in the case of the brewer, that from his point of view, it's not rebit, but from the lowest point of view, the poor people who are paying him the higher price later on, that's like rebit. In other words, if they would have money now, they could buy it now at the lower price. So instead he charges them the higher price, they only have to pay it later on. But it's like rebit from their point of view. So the halacha is not like Republic, you may do that. And then the other day when we said who the halacha is like, we talked and skipped that one. We didn't say the halacha is like them, right? We said, the Gemara said at the top of Samachem and Beis, the halacha is like Rav Chama and like Rav Lozer, like Rav Yana, but the halacha was not like Rav Papa. And that's what we're saying over here. We're confirming that here. The halacha is not like Rav Papa. So, Kadesh Rav Papa, Shtar Mechazor, the Shtar is not like them. What is that? The Zakhvila L'Ravcha, Akarna, because of the Bishtar. What do they do? A man would say to a small retailer, look, I'll give you this merchandise to sell, and okay, at my cost. My cost is $100, and I expect you to make a 30% profit, let's say. So you should really bring in $130 on this, right? And you should sell it for $130, and let's say we'll split the profits. So you got to give me back $115, the cost of the goods. And we'll split the $30 profit, not the $115. So he writes him a shtar, you owe me $115. Is that fair? Well, it might work out okay, but it may not. Maybe you won't be able to sell that at a profit, right? It's an assumed profit. It's like a consignment that it's on consignment, but he's assuming he's going to make that profit. So what they would do is, what is the Zakvi Lila Rafa, they include the profit, the assumed profit on the principal, because of the shtar, and he writes the shtar. He says, Lachas, you can't do that. Who said there'll be a profit? You can't be guaranteed of that. Listen to this case. Mar bar Amemer, Mar, the son of Amemer, said to Ravashi, Aver Avachi, his father, this Mar was saying about his father, Amemer, that his father does that, my father does that, but he also will come. And if the retailer who comes to him and says, listen, I couldn't get that $130. Nobody wanted to buy it. I had to sell it at cost. There was no profit. When they come to him and complain, Mehemet, he believes them. In other words, my father, Mar said, my father does that. He writes in the shtar that you owe me $115, assuming a profit of $30 that they're going to split, right? And if the guy comes and says, we didn't make any profit, he believes him. So it's okay that way. That's fine if the guy's around, if the father's around, okay, that works. You know, you trust me. You know, I'm giving you a shtar that you owe me, or a maimer wrote a shtar, you owe me $115. He doesn't really owe him $115. He owes him $100 for the goods, right? That was the cost of the goods. And if there's a profit, he'll take half the profit, $15. So so Amar said, my father did that. And if the guy said he didn't make any profit, he believed him. He says, the Gemara says, that's fine if the father's around. Right, ishachiv enough. Ishachiv. Let's say the father Amemer dies, enough of shtar can be yasmin, and the shtar falls to the yisomim. The yisomim don't know all those details. They just say, hey, the father has a shtar, an IOU on this retailer that he owes him $115. What are you going to say there, my habit? My, what are you going to do there? Havi kishkaka shiotze mifneiv shalat. This is a famous line in Kehelis where he says, like a mistake, an inadvertent phrase that came out from the ruler. And it happened. In other words, he says, oh, your father does it that way? Your father, Amemer, does that? That's fine if your father's around. What happens if your father dies? His father then died. In other words, it's like Al-Tiftach Bela Sudden. He says, what happens if your father dies? His father died. But Nachnaf Shad Amemer, Taka died. So it's not a good idea. And that shtar is not a good thing to do. Chakira Nashoi. What is the tenancies, the leases of Nashoi? What is that? The Kasviach, this is what they used to write. Mashkat Panya Ara La Panya. What happened was this, again, Malva and the Lova. The Malva lends him $100. The Lova gives him his Mashkin, the land, right? Okay. Bahar Chakumine. Then afterwards, the Lova needs the prop. What happens? The Lova gives the Malva the Mashkin, the field, right? As a Mashkin, the Mashkanta. But the Lova needs to work the field to make the Paris. So the Lova then goes and rents it or leases it from the Malva. He had given it to him as a Mashkin. And now the Lova now goes and pays the Malva. Not only does he owe him the $100 that's saved for the loan, but now he's renting the field, his own field that he gave as a Mashkin. He's renting that back from the Malva. And then he rents with him. He says he shouldn't do that. All these things, he shouldn't do that. Why? Amos Konadak Nile. When did the Malva own it that he could rent it back to him? He doesn't own it, it's just a Mashkin. Amos Konadak Nile. When did he buy it that he could give it back to the Lova? The Gemara says, the Koska, they talk right this way. What do they do? The Lova needs to, Lova says, okay, I have a field, but I need to work it. I need to rent this. I'll rent it back from you. What does it look like? He owes him $100 for the loan. He rents it back for another $20. It looks like every bit, right? The Malva lent him $100, and he's giving, the Lova is now giving him $120. He owes him $100 for the loan plus $20 to rent it back. So he says, in order so that people should be able to lend money, they did that custom. This is what they write. The Malva writes, I acquired the field as a Mashkin from the Lova, and I worked it for a while. In other words, like Rashi says, he worked it for a period of time with Nechaisa, deducting, like we saw yesterday, you have to deduct, per year, per annum, you deduct X amount from the loan so that it looks more like a lease and not a loan. You remember he said, if the Malva lends the Lova $3,000, and the Lova and the Malva is on the field for a year, so he deducts, let's say, $1,000 per year. So then it looks like he's just leasing the field for 3 years, and he deducts X amount per year. He's paying, so that it doesn't look like rebit. So he says he does it this way. Now that they do it that way, the Malva says, I acquired the field, and I worked it for a while and deducted. And then I rented it back. I lent it. I leased it back to the Lova. Now that they do that, the Gemara says, Kadesh lo tenel delas v'tadav. They do that. In other words, otherwise no money would be available to the Lova. He wouldn't be able to, if the Malva wouldn't be able to do this and lease it back and get some money there, no, they wouldn't lend out any money. In other words, like the reason we have Heteriska today, if you wouldn't have Heteriska today, commerce couldn't be done. There would be no capital. People are not going to give out their capital for nothing. So that there should be capital in the market, they do that. Since now we do that, shopper dummy, then it's okay. But the Gemara says, Balav Milsi, no, it's not. It's not good. This is not good. Even if he did it that way, it's still ribbis. It's also ribbis, Gemara Rashi says, because there's no suffix. In other words, in a case where we said before, a Malva lends the Lova $3,000. And every year he stays on the field, and when the Lova gives him the field, he's on the year, every year he's there, deducts $1,000. But it's really, the Malva's not for sure getting any profit. Maybe the field will produce, maybe it won't produce. He's paying effectively $1,000 per year for a lease. That's what he's doing. But over here, where he gave him $100 loan, and then he takes the karka, it's a mashkan, and then he rents it back to the guy, he's for sure getting the extra $20. That looks more like ribit, and that's forbidden. So Gemara says, Loch, it's not like this in any of these cases. Now the Gemara is going to go to a different thing. There's a thing called an iska, which is half profit and half loss. So what do you mean? Machtaschar means this. Listen carefully, because this is going to carry us through the next block, even into tomorrow. They forbid, the custom was to do it this way. A man would say, let's do a joint venture. I have some merchandise or some capital or some animals, and I'll tell you what. We'll go into a joint deal. I'll give you the money, the payers, whatever, the produce, the animals, whatever. And it's half yours and half mine. What do we mean by that? Half of it is mine. Half the profit will be mine. Half the profit will be yours. When half the profit is yours, you're taking responsibility for that half of the assets. I'm giving you assets, either cash, animals, produce. Half these assets, you're responsible for. That means it's a loan. That means if it goes down in value or you lose it, you owe me the money. Okay, so let's say the assets are worth $100. I'm giving you assets, either cash, produce, animals, whatever, and it's worth $100. Half of it is a loan, $50 you're responsible for. If it goes down, you lose it, or the value goes down, you're responsible for that. The other half is mine. The other half is mine. Now, when you make profit, half of the profit's mine, half the profit's yours. The part that's yours, in other words, you have to, on the basic principle, the cost of the $100, I expect my $100 back, right? But $50 of it is yours. You're going to make the profit on the $50. And if you lose it, you still owe me the $50. The other $50 is mine. You're not responsible for it, but if something goes wrong, but if I make any money, that's mine. If you make any money, we're going to split it. What happens over here is this. Effectively, the Lova, he has a loan of $50, right? And he owes that $50 back, when he can make profit on it, profit or loss. But he's also selling my stuff. He's always making a profit on my $50 value, the stuff that he's holding for me. So he's working for me for what? What's he getting paid for? Is he getting paid? What's he getting over here? For the loan that he took, the $50 loan, half the produce, half the money, whatever it was, for that half of the money that that it's a loan effectively, he can make money on his half or lose money, but he's selling it together. The produce is all, it's a joint deal. He's going to make money or lose money. If he loses money on the whole deal, I take responsibility for my half, he's responsible for his, he has to pay me the $50. But if he makes money, we split it. Okay, fine. What's he getting for this? What's he getting for this? Oh, he's getting, actually, he borrowed my money and he's able to make money on it. But in return, he's working for my 50% too. He's making money for me. That's rebit, because he borrowed effectively half. And for his half, that in return for his borrowing the money, I'm charging him that he has to work for me. What does he have to do? He has to go sell my half too. That's rebit. Unless I pay him. I pay him. Let's say I give him a wage. Okay. So I'm telling him, listen, you're working for me. Go out and sell this. You're a salesman. Go out and work for me and I'll give you a wage. That's okay. But if I don't give him a wage, what is he doing? He's effectively borrowing half and he's responsible for the half. In return for that, he's working for me for nothing. That's rebit. That's, you have to understand the concept here, because all the cases follow from that. So the Mishnah says, Ein Moshivan, you don't set up a shopkeeper, a store, L'machzis Char, for half the profits. This is the case we're talking about. Because in the case where you set up for half the profits, it's basically you're responsible for half and you're not responsible for the other half. All the profits will share. If it's all a loss, you owe me for your half, you don't owe me for my half. Okay, but you're working for me. You don't do that because since half of it is a loan and you're working for my half too, that's rebid. So whether it's merchandise or you shouldn't give money to buy produce, for half the profits. Again, that's this case. Unless you pay me like a worker. In other words, so when a man who's the owner of the business, or he has the produce, or he has the farm, whatever, he has cash, whatever he is, he's the industrialist, whatever you want to call him, or the investor. So you shouldn't do that, because he's getting rebid effectively if it's half schar, unless he pays the guy. If I pay you to do the work for me, so you're doing work for me. Otherwise, you're doing work for me in return for me giving you that loan. I gave you a loan. You only owe me back the $50, the half the value. If you make profit, fine. That's your money. If you lose, you still owe me the $50. That's a loan. And in return for the loan, you're working for me. You're selling my stuff. That's rebid. Unless I pay you. If I pay you, it's not rebid. Similarly, Moshe Ben Tal Golan, you don't lend out chickens, you know, to brood on eggs, etc. Lamasa also for saying we'll split the profits. The same idea on the eggs. Again, don't do the same thing with animals, whether the calves or foals, young horses. The same idea for the LMK knows no schar malamazon. You got to pay him schar for his toil and for the animal feed. In this case, it's animal feed. It's not just working, you know, buying and selling. But it was customary when you're not responsible. It's not a loan. If you're responsible for half, it's a loan. I effectively lent you half the goods, half the money, half the merchandise, half the animals. But if, let's say, you're not responsible, I just give you young animals to raise. You're not responsible if anything happens. So if they die, it's not your fault. But if you raise them and they grow, I'll give you half the profits. And they raise the machim shoshan until they're either 3 years old or a third of their growth. The chamor achitenso, or a donkey, raise him until he's able to be a schlepper, a porter, until the animal can stuff. That's okay. That's what he says, right? And then you could split the profits there in those cases, because there, the person who's doing the work, right? He's not taking any responsibility. There's no responsibility. There's no loan. A loan means you're responsible for half, right? So when you're responsible, that's a loan. So if you're working for me in return for the loan, that's ribid. You're getting something for that. When you say, unless you pay him, says unless you pay him, sparo kapol, like a worker. What kind of a worker do you mean? It's like the Gemara says in many places, kapol batal, like a person who's unemployed. It says, my kapol, what do you mean like a person's unemployed? He who says he's unemployed? What do you mean by that? So Rashi says, you know, how much of the person's willing to do nothing? My kapol batal, I know she batal, he's doing work over here. He's not unemployed. Let's say he is a construction worker and he's building buildings and he's doing heavy duty work. So he's willing just to be a salesman because the work is much lighter. How much he's willing to get paid for that? We'll see other opinions, but this is the kapol b'shalos malacha. So why do you have to tell me about these cases? I mentioned the principle is the same, right? That when I give you something, what's called an iska, where we're going to a joint venture. Right, here's the cost that goes, it's $100. Fine, I'm gonna give it to you. You're gonna work it, sell it, work it, make a profit, nice, we'll split it, all good and dandy, but you're working for me too. That's ribid. So why do you have to tell me the case of money, in the case of payrolls, in the case of animals? So he says, Sri Khaditana Khanvani, Khanvani the cycle of Paul Bottle. And Khanvani, a shopkeeper, so he's happy with getting a small wage, meaning like a worker who's willing to work less from his regular job. It's not a lot of work here. He's got a store anyway, right? So you give him some merchandise, put it on the shelf. But if you're giving him cash and he's got to go out now and buy merchandise, buy produce, enough for some more work involved. Maybe it's not enough to give him like worker, just like a worker who's willing to work less for less to do this easier work, this easier job. Maybe you got to pay him a higher wage. In the case of money, leak and payers, that where he's doing more work. I mean, a hustle the boy bottle. There you have to pay him like a Paul bottle, like a worker. How much a worker is willing to work for a smaller wage to do a lighter job? There you have to pay him because there's work involved. A who doesn't have a lot of work, he just puts it on the shelf, puts it out on display. Amos like mashu, Bama, just give him anything. We said over here, the whole idea is if you pay him anything, then it's not rebid, right? Because then he's working for you. Maybe just give him a mash, just give him something, a token money. Even if you just gave him, you know, a dip, you know, you gave him a food to dip in brine, like to have a little snack. He only had a dried fig with you. I might think that's enough. In both cases, whether he's doing light work or a little bit heavier work, even about buying and selling, that's enough to pay him. So here we have, before we said you pay him like a bull butter, here we're going to see some achlokas. How much is his char? Whatever they agree, it could be a smaller amount, it could be a larger amount, whatever they agree to is fine. That's good enough. Now, that's for Meir's opinion. Like we said before, even if he just gave him a token thing, you dipped a delicacy in some brine and ate it, or you gave him a dried fig, sales card, that's good enough. Rashi says, Rabbi is more makeable than a mayor. For mayor, boy, you have to at least set up a price. You have to agree on a price. Whatever he agrees to is fine, but a lot or a little. Rabbi says, you don't have to agree with him anything. Love boy, she was like, just give him something. If you give him some token thing, that's good enough. No, you got to pay him the full wage, meaning kapol batel, like Rashi says. Like we said before, how much is a worker willing to accept? He normally does heavier work, heavier duty work. And now how much is he willing to accept to do lighter work? Tanrabanan, ain't shaman loasis. Listen to this. Now, we said before, in all these cases, you only assess, you only give him for half wage, is what they call it, iska, like this. And you can't do that unless you pay him, because otherwise it's like a bid. Ain't shaman loasis. You don't do this with goats, vasuchem, and not lambs or sheep. You don't do this at all. Why? Unless you pay him. Why? Because he's working. The animals themselves do not produce enough to pay for their upkeep. So again, let's say somebody gave me animals to raise, right? And we said we'll raise them and make and whatever, we'll sell them and we'll share in the profits. So again, if I'm responsible for half, I'm like a borrower, and in return for that, I'm working for him. So therefore, that's rebit unless he pays me. But so he says, don't do it unless you pay him. Maybe you'll say, wait a minute. But the animals, as I'm raising them, they produce, they throw off some profits anyway. if I'm producing, if I have these animals, I get the shearings, I get the fleece, and there's milk. In other words, I'm being paid effectively, right? What do we say? You can't do this kind of a deal unless you pay me, right? Because if you pay me, then it's not rebid. Then it's not like for, in return for the loan that I'm responsible for half, I have to work for you because now you're paying me. You're giving me the stuff. So you can't do that, right? So he says, you don't do this with goats and with sheep because they don't produce anything to pay for their upkeep unless you pay them, unless you pay me. In other words, that's not a payment. So the Gemara is going to ask about this. What do you mean? They are producing. You do that with goats. They shechovos because you can milk them. So there is milk there. So in other words, effectively, the guy who's doing the work keeps the milk. So he's getting paid. He's getting keeps the milk. That's the rechelim and the sheep. They shechovos because you can get the shearings, the fleece, the shokvos. And when they go in the when they go through the rivers, when you take the flock through the river, a lot of the fleece comes off. You get the fleece there. Umortos, or when they go through thorns, it's plucked off. In other words, there is fleece there. So there's something here. Vesana Targolis, and there is Targolis and Meshios of Ochels, because the Targolis, the chickens, produce eggs. So there is something that they're getting in return there. So the Tanakama, so why don't you stand the Tanakama? What do you mean? The Tanakama says, you can't do this with goats and sheep, because if you don't pay them, it's rebid, and they're not throwing off any profit. What do you mean? There is milk and fleece. What's going on? Tanakama, isn't that enough? Lo sipek or lo safek, isn't that enough for the as payment for his work and for the animal feed that they need? They, you know, everybody, every farmer knows you get milk and you get fleece, so he's getting something there. So everybody agrees. If there is fleece and milk, everybody agrees that that's payment. So I could do a deal 50-50 like that with if I give you goats or sheep or anything like that, or you give me them and I'm the worker and I accept half responsibility and we share the profits equally, I could do that. Why? Because I'm getting paid. What's my payment? Not a check. I don't get a paycheck, but I get to keep the fleece and the milk. Keep looking. Machlokas has been a suba v'tusri. We're not getting the real milk and the real fleece. We're talking about the leftover milk, the whey, just the part of the milk that's not really milk. Right? You need it for milk, but it's not the milk. Keep looking. A suba v'tusri, or the extra stuff, the stuff that the remnants of the fleece, like we say, that gets plucked off or that falls off in the water. Tanakama saw the curb shemichoy. Tanakama like shemichoy domer. No sense from you got to get paid in full. This is not being paid in full. Just keeping the junk, keeping the residue of the milk or the fleece. Rabbi Yehuda holds like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, who said, any payment, even if you only dip with him in the brine, even if you only had one dried fig, that's good enough. And that's the machlokas for it. Maskeres isha lechaverta tarnegolis b'shnei afrochem. You do this. A woman has a chicken. Now, the chicken was rented out to brood on eggs, you know, so that they should produce chicks, right? I have a chicken. You have a lot of eggs, and you need my chicken. So you've heard of rent a car? Well, rent a chicken. That's okay. You can rent a chicken. I rent out my chicken. And what's my payment? Two eggs a year. Give me two of these eggs a year. Rashi says, bishana, right? Bishana, bishana. You give me two chicks a year. I'll rent you out my chicken. And you have my chicken. You can keep that for a few years. And my payment will be, I want two chicks a year. Is there anything wrong with that deal? No. That's a rental. Not a problem with that. But let's say the woman says, we're going to do a deal in Iska, like we're going to split the profits. Isha sh'amar l'chaver t'tanagol shali. I have the chicken, right? U'beitzim shalchen, you got your eggs. Ba'nivat nachalok b'frochem, we'll split the chicken. We'll split the chicks. Now we've got a 50% deal. Now the lady who's the owner of the eggs is also partly responsible, right? Partly responsible. Rashi says over here, they're all responsible. Rashi says, take a look at Rashi, right even where we are. Isha, a little bit above that. Isha, she has a she's allowed to rent out and schiras. You know, give me eggs, I'll give me your eggs. I'll rent you out my chicken. Then my chicken will sit on your eggs. I'll take of a blush and chaluka. If they split a pligi bar, that's machlok. Gosser up Shimon. Shimon says it's not good. The chalosh and chalukah is iska. It's an iska, like we said. Who overlaps it? Kishar. You might lose money. Might lose money. Kivin dachray is chatsi beitzim aleh. In other words, in this case, she says, "Listen, we're gonna. I have my chicken. You give me the eggs, and we'll split the profits." But over here, I'm responsible for half. half the eggs now. I'm responsible. It's a partially a loan. When you say you're going to split it, the splitting, it's not like we understand today a regular investor as a loan. But the iska that we're talking about through this mission, this Gemara, is that kind. When we talk about an iska, we're going to split the profits, meaning I'm responsible for half, you're responsible for half. Yishtakach palga milva, half it's a loan. Right? Since the responsibility for half the eggs is on her, or the one who has the chicken, yishtakach palga milva. If I'm renting it out, I'm not responsible for it. I'm renting out my chicken to you, and you're giving me two chicks a year. That's a rental. But if we do it if we split a joint venture, then effectively I'm responsible for half the eggs, and then in return for that, I'm giving you the work, and therefore it's like rebid. So as he says, Isha Shama Chaverta Tana goes back and Marshali Beitz Mshlucha Mani Vechavukavokan. Rav Yehuda says it's okay. Even in that case, it's okay. Rav Shimon Oser, Rav Yehuda lo boy ischar malo v'ischar. What do you mean? Why is that mutter? That goes against what we've been saying until now. We've been saying until now that when you do a 50% deal like that, a joint venture, you can't do that without paying the worker, the person that you're consigning the goods to, because he's giving you a bit. So doesn't he need at least schar for his toil and the animal feed? Says Ika Beitz Mazaris, the owner of the chicken gets to keep the eggs that don't produce eggs, what they call addled eggs like we eat, that don't produce chicks. If they don't produce chicks, he gets to keep those. So Ika Beitz Mazaris, so that is his payment. That is the payment of the woman who owns the chicken. Tana Rabbanan, Makdon Agagos Aschar Kotev Lemos Lebehema Malam. The minigas in some places was that when I give you an animals to watch, right, to take care of, to raise. So we said you can't do it without paying a wage. But what about the wage of schlepping the animals back and forth? If the minig is that you big the schar kotev, that means the schar for portering, you know, for schlepping on your shoulder, for the animal that, you know, in addition to the money that you pay him to do the work, you have to give it. You don't change the minig amakom. Shem Leo says, he says another thing. He says, so if you have small, young calves or foals, young animals that follow their mother, you don't have to add anything for that. You just have to pay to take care of the mother, and you don't have to pay for taking care of the kids. Why? Because the kids follow the mother. So Shem Galil says, Shaman ego in emo, right? In emo. And as you can include with his mother, Vasiach, or young foal, young dog, young horse, in emo. Even in a place where you add on money for schlepping, here you don't have to add on money for schlepping of the kids because the kids follow the mother. So you don't have to add on anything. Okay, even if you don't say, you say you don't have to add on anything for schlepping the babies because they follow the mother, but there's still some work involved. Don't you have to pay for that? There's the dung. He gets to keep the dung as fertilizer, right? Person who's doing the work gets to keep the dung. So therefore, you don't pay anything extra. You don't receive any extra wage for taking care of the babies because you get, in return, you get the dung. Like we said before, you get the eggs. In the case of chicken, you get the dung. Vidach the Tanakama, glow mafkuri mafklu. Dung isn't worth much. People are mafkur. It's not worth much. So therefore, that doesn't count. And you have to pay him to take care of the babies also. Or Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Halachah Rav Yehuda. Notice there's no Rambam Seichen over here. We say, Morris says usually Hilchasa, we paskin that way. Here it's not going to be that way. Rav Nachman says, Halachah is like Rav Yehuda, who says all you have to give him is give him a token, a token figure, whatever. Halachah Rav Yehuda, like Rav Yehuda's son, who went in his father's path and says, oh, you know what? It's enough to give him the Nesubi, and Rabbi Yosemite was like his father who went with this, he said it's enough to give him a fig. In the case of the milk, it's enough to give him the whey and the residue of the fleece. So he said, Allah is Rabbi Yosemite, Allah is like Rabbi Yosemite, Allah says you don't have to pay for the babies over here because they'll follow the mothers, right? So that's what Rav Nachman says. Apparently the halacha is like them. We'll see. Now we have a story. B'nei Rav Ilyesh. That was his name, Ilyesh, right? The sons of Rav Ilyesh, Nafik Alayah Ushtar, Shtar went out, showing that a shtar went out on their father, who was a Rav, that apparently he did one of these deals of 50-50. Now that didn't look good, because it looked like he was paying rebit, right? That he went on a deal that he accepted 50% responsibility. And in return for that loan that he had a responsible for, he worked for the other 50%. And that was looked like that was Rabbit. Amar Rava. Rav Ilyesh Gavar Rava was a great man, a rabbi. He wouldn't have fed people Rabbit. As he wouldn't have paid rebit, it wouldn't have been a deal like that. Manavshach, it must be like this. E palga ba'agar. It says that the deal went up palga ba'agar, you know, half profit and half loss, meaning half that he accepts responsibility for. The other half only, you know, only for the profit. But again, he's working for the other guy's profit, for the owner's profit, the balabai's profit, in return for his 50% loan. This is Manavshach. E palga ba'agar. He says it must be that the deal was done like this. If half was e palga ba'agar, if he was going to split the profits 50%, trade till sebehefset, then the owner would have taken a loss of 2/3, meaning it wasn't 50-50. In return for only taking a loss on a third, he's only a third of it is a loan, but he gets 50% of the profit. So that difference between the third, like the sixth, between difference between a third and a half, that's his payment, effectively. You understand? I'm only responsible for 1/3, but I'm getting half the profits. So that difference between half and a third, that's what I'm getting paid. That's okay. So it's either he was getting half the profits and the owner was taking 2/3 of the loss, if there would be a loss, right? And therefore he was only responsible for 1/3, or he takes responsibility for half the loss and trade till Sibagan and he gets 2/3 of the profit. In other words, the worker, in this case, Rav Ilyash, or the one who was, the goods was consigned to, got paid. He got paid, let's say, an extra 1/6 based on this. Amar Rav Kana, Amrisa L'shmaitik made Rav Zid. I said this halach in front of Zid Min Adob. Amar Li, Dilma Rav Inish, Tovel Imo Betzir, Havik. Maybe, why do you have to give this dohak answer and say he got a sixth profit, somehow he got paid a sixth extra, either by taking an extra third of the profit or taking less than a third, or taking less a third or less a sixth of the loss? Why don't you say maybe Rav Ilyash, the halach is like Rav Yehuda, maybe Rav Ilyash got a token wage, like Rav Yehuda said. Dilma Rav Ilyash, Tova Lima Batsirav, and maybe he got some, you know, he took a token wage there. When Rav Nachman said that the halachas are, he didn't really say the halachas are kibbutah. He said rather that they all went with the same principle. Itmar. What do you mean? In other words, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon Leil all went with the same shita. You don't say that they just went with the same shita. Why do you say halacha halacha? Why do you say the halacha is like a buta? And halacha is like a Yosef buta who went like his father. And halacha is like Shmuel says you don't pay for the animals. Just say the halacha is like the most maker. Lay malach Rav Yehuda the maker mekulu. Rav Yehuda is the most maker. He says just give him a token wage and that's good enough. So why did he say that? Why, we just had this Gemara, the two dots on seven lines from the bottom of the page. Rav Nachman said halacha is like a buta. Halacha is like a Yosef buta. Halacha is like Shmuel. It's all the same thing. Just say halacha is like a buta who's most maker. The answer is really, he's not really saying halacha is like him. He's saying they all went with the same shita. They were very makel. Rav Yehuda was makel. Rav Yosef was like his father was makel. Shmuel was makel. He's all saying they went with the same shita, but not the halacha was like them. So halacha is not like them. The halacha is really like at the top of Amid Beis that we learned today. Amar Abaya Kapol Batal. You have to pay him like a worker. Like a worker was willing to accept this kind of a wage. Therefore, he had explained that when Rav Ilyash did this kind of a deal, it must be that Rav Ilyash got paid somehow. He took an extra sixth of the profits, or he took less a sixth of the loss. And that's why it wasn't considered rebit. All right, we'll pick up here tomorrow from Omar Rav, about 8-9 lines down on the page. Have a good day, everybody.